for worship. Hear these words from Psalm 29. Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory of his name. Worship the Lord in holy splendor. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord over mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon skip like a calf and Syrian like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord causes the oaks to whirl and strips the forest bare, and in his temple all say glory. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as king forever. May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace. Would you pray with me? Father God, we have come to this place to join the sounds and the cries of the angels and the saints in shouting to you, glory, glory. For you alone are worthy. You're worthy of our songs. You're worthy of our prayers. You're worthy of our presence in this place. You're worthy of our heart's attention. You are worthy of our very lives. And Lord, already we have heard the psalmist declare how mighty and how powerful is your voice. Your voice can shake the foundations of the earth. Your voice can bring light into darkness. Your voice can bring healing and hope. We've come to this place, O Lord, to lift our voices to you and declare your glory. And we've come to this place to hear your voice, O God, as you speak your love and your grace and your truth into our lives. May all of that happen in this one blessed hour of worship. You've called us here, and here we are. May your will be done right here as in heaven. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You'll turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6. We are in week 8 of the Sermon on the Mount, so we are 2 full months at this. The last 3 weeks, including today, we have been looking specifically at 3 invitations that Jesus gives all of his people during this season of Lent, of things that we are invited to give up together. And we looked at Jesus' call to give up our anger, last week to give up our money, and today, the invitation to give up worry. Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 25. Jesus says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear?' For it's the Gentiles who strive for all these things, and indeed your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for for today. Would you pray with me? And so, Jesus, our hearts need to hear how we can be a people of peace, how we can be a people of hope in a very anxious world. Would you open our ears anew, as if we are with your original disciples, gathered on that mountainside with you, looking into your eyes as you speak your power and your love and your provision into our lives. And could we take you at your word? Would your spirit move freely among us, helping us hear whatever it is you want us to hear? And so you might help us be whoever it is you want us to be. And so you could help us do or not do whatever it is you want us to do or not do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't worry about a thing, because every little thing is going to be all right. I knew somebody would have to sing. And then there's a little song I wrote. You might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry. Be happy. Any worry words in the room for whom these songs do not a thing? We love them, but they aren't all that helpful, are they? We've got stuff to worry about. I want to play a little game to get started. You don't have to get up, but we're going to do a little family feud game. This side versus this side. All right? All right. I know we got competitors in here. And so this is the topic of our family feud game. 2,000 Americans were polled, this is for real, last year. So 2022. So if it's 2023 specific, you're probably going to lose. They were polled last year. And they were asked what their biggest concern is on a national level. So if it's like your son-in-law, probably not on the list. On a national level. Okay? Biggest concern on a national level. Can you guess the top 10 responses? Okay, this side first. Money is number one. Inflation / the economy, number one. This side. What?
Peace.
Yes, that kind of goes into a lot of things. So we'll put that at number 8 on foreign conflicts. We'll make that peace. All right, this side. We got 1, we got 8. Health. So, okay, one at a time. So number 9 was COVID-19, which is health. And number 10 was health care. So we'll give you a 9 and a 10. But get this, COVID-19 was number 9 last year. It's like as soon as it kind of faded away, we had 8 things to replace it. Get that. All right, over here.
Schooling.
Schooling, violence. Violence, gun violence, number 3. All right, this side. First person to not get one loses. Y'all lose. I don't see that one. All right, this side. Jobs. Political extremism and polarization, number 2. All right, we've got 1, 2, and 3 already. This side.
Immigration.
Immigration, number 4. This side.
Addiction.
What?
Addiction.
Oh, that would be good, but it's not on there. 1X. Okay, this side.
Homelessness.
Homelessness, X. Okay, this side.
Poverty.
We'll give you that with economies, because I don't like to tell a kid X. All right, this side.
Thievery.
What?
Thievery.
What?
Thievery.
We'll just call it crime. We already said that. Kind of an X for a repeat answer. Okay, the ones we didn't get: government debt, climate change, racism, and you got all the rest. Because we know what we're anxious about, right? We get one worry behind us, and we've got plenty more to fill the space. And these are just things on a national level. I don't know about you, but I find in just my own little life this week, these weren't even the things that I lost the most sleep over. They're in the periphery, but I've got my very own worry wart list of things. I've had this weird recurring dream the last few months, go figure. And in this dream, I have this little tiny baby, and he's like this big in the dream. He's like this big, really. You can barely see him. And I put him somewhere, and I just let him sleep for like days. And then, because I think he's sleepy. And then someone comes to me and they're like, haven't you fed your baby? And I'm like, huh? He's been sleeping. They're like, you have to feed your baby. And then I start getting really nervous that I'm not feeding my baby, this little tiny baby. I keep forgetting to feed it. I'm not in the day worried, but in my dreams, the anxiety comes out. Worry about just raising a kid in this world today. I worry about finances, my own finances, church finances. I worry about people that are part of us that we aren't seeing for weeks at a time. I worry about parents that are aging. I worry about getting all the work done that needs to get done. I worry about my vehicle breaking down someday. It's fine today, but what if tomorrow's not fine? I worry about that. I worry about my blood pressure. I wonder why. I worry about losing a spouse and my spouse is fine. There was a day like 2 weeks ago, that guy was getting home late from somewhere and I heard a siren and I was sure he was dead. It's like, it has to be him. We worry about these things. Not to mention Russia and China and earthquakes and Easter egg counts and housing crises. We have things to worry about. All of us. One of the things that most all of us know how to do and know how to do well is worry. You should have got a note card when you came in. I want to invite you throughout the service. You can start now. Just start listing your own worries. Whatever they are, just list them. Write them down. Put them in front of you. We've got worries. And then Jesus comes along one day. He's talking about this new kingdom that he brings. And he says to those of us who are his people, who are participating in his kingdom, don't worry. Don't worry about your life. Don't worry. And we want to say, thanks, Jesus. Thank you. I mean, if it was that easy, we wouldn't do it either. We don't just love it. Don't worry. But then we remember that Jesus never asked us to do anything that he hasn't been willing to do himself, right? And of all the people who have ever walked this earth, if there was one who had a real reason to worry, it was Jesus. From day one, he's born into a poor family. There's worry that comes with that. There is an angry king trying to kill kids that look just like him because he was trying to kill him. There's something to worry about. When you begin to read scriptures, it becomes pretty clear that Jesus probably lost his dad when he was young. You see Joseph when Jesus is 12 years old at the temple incident, and you never see Joseph again. Every other scene, when you see Mary, there's no Joseph. Jesus went through the pain of losing a father probably rather young. There's reason to worry. He begins to live out his calling, and he goes to preach his first sermon as a rabbi in his own hometown. And you remember what happens. His people try to kill him. That is a reason to worry. In one day, he's got hundreds of followers because he just fed them a lot of food and people like to eat, right? And then he starts talking about this bread and this wine. He says, by the way, this is my body, eat this. This is my blood, drink this. And hundreds of them walk away because they're like, this just got weird. He watches his ministry begin to crumble before his eyes as they leave in droves. That is worrisome. If you all got up right now and walked out, I would be a little bit worried. The Pharisees and the scribes, they are always in the picture behind the scenes, sometimes in front of the scenes. They're always trying to get Jesus to mess up so they can find a valid reason to do away with him. He should be a little bit worried about that. He knows that he's got friends that are about to betray him. He knows that there's plenty of people who will never be pleased with him. He knows that he's got family members whose hearts will break because of him. And he knows that there is a cross that is waiting for him. Jesus had reason to worry. And not to mention, he keeps talking about the fall of Jerusalem. He knows all about the national wars and the destruction that are coming. Jesus should be worried. But we don't ever really see Jesus as a worrier, do we? We find him sound asleep in the middle of a violent storm. napping. He moves on after that murder attempt in Nazareth. And he's not all shaken and goes into hiding for a while. He just goes and teaches in the next town. He tells his disciples about what's ahead of him, which is the spirit of matter-of-factness, this calm, this surrender. Every gospel says that there's a point in his ministry when Jesus turned his face to Jerusalem, intentionally heads toward the cross, making no attempt to avoid it, moves one step closer and closer to the crisis, unworried. For this guy who lived such a chaotic life, why? Why doesn't Jesus worry? Why not? Because you know when you're worried and you feel that your world is closing in on you and someone says to you, don't worry about that. And you're like, well, gee, thanks, that's helpful. I'll just stop. No, you're like, that's easy for you to say. But what do you know about my situation that I don't know? If you're going to tell me why that I shouldn't worry, I'm going to need you to tell me why. Why I shouldn't worry. Do you know that everything's going to be okay? Don't you tell me not to worry unless you've got a good explanation for why I shouldn't. In the month of February, I've told most of you guys this in a sermon a few weeks ago, a guy and I had a scary test result come back for the baby, and I was worried. I was worried about him and about his health, and I kept asking Guy, aren't you worried? He'd be like, no. And I was like, why? Why are you not worried? Do you know? No, I don't know if he's going to. Well, why are you not worried? Why? I just need him to tell me one reason why. Why? But I find when I am worried, if there's someone who has gone before me on that same path, they've been there, they've done that, if they can speak into my worry, well, then I'm less resistant and I'm more all ears. In school, if you had that exam coming up and someone who had just taken that class said, don't worry, this one is easy. They've been there, they've done that. Okay, relief. If I'm walking down a trail and they were coming upon this dicey area, and I always make Guy go first in those, and if he goes first and says, it's fine, it's not slippery, or this limb right here, it'll hold us, then I'm good. He's right in front of me. He's walked this path. He can say for sure, don't worry, I've done it. It's okay. When Jesus tells us not to worry about our lives, it turns out that he can actually do that because he has walked ahead of us and he knows how it all goes down, and he can say with confidence, every little thing is going to be all right. He alone can say, I have been where you're going. And I have overcome those things that scare you the most. Do not worry. There are no surprises ahead. Jesus says, I have already been there. I am already there. And I am ready to care for you in that place. And that's why Jesus didn't worry. Even on his most intense of days, he knew. He knew where this journey was going. He knew how hard things would get, but he also knew that the very hardest part on the very hardest day would not get the last say. He knew. He knew that the pain of the cross was going to be real and it was going to be terrible, but he knew that that pain was going to be temporary. And he knew that the thrill of resurrection and life with his children was going to be forever. He knew that every little thing would be okay. You see, Jesus can see our circumstances. He can see our circumstances past. He can see our circumstances present. And he can see our circumstances of future. And so when he says, don't you worry, that holds some weight. Because our Jesus has walked this trail. Our Jesus has taken this class. And he has been where we're going. And he knows without a doubt that we have a good Father God. And this God has got us. He's got us. And so he says, don't worry. I know what's coming. And you will be okay. Why else did Jesus not waste any time worrying? Why? Why not worry? Because Jesus had work to do. He had good work. He had lots of work. He says, which one of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life? Not a one of us. But he could have added to that, but boy, can we lose some hours of living with this thing we call worry. In these pages after Matthew 6, Jesus still has so much work to do. He's got sick people to heal. He's got lost people to reach. He's got hungry people to feed. He's got disciples to try to train up. He's got a world to save. And if he just sits back and worries himself sick about that dreaded day when Judas will betray him and the cross will be waiting for him, there will be so much good work that goes undone. So much. Don't worry, Jesus says. Why not? Why not, Jesus? Because you've got good work to do too. You've got too much good work to do. And worrying about what might be, all it's going to do is take you away from today's calling that already is. It already is. You are not going to change your future by worrying about it. But you just might miss out on life today because you're too worried to see the good work right in front of you. Don't worry, Jesus says. Why not? Because there's good work to do. Get into the good work. Don't worry. Why not worry? Because most of the things we worry about never even happen. And if they do happen, we will have the grace we need for the facing of that day on that day. That thing you worried yourself sick over, and it actually happened. Did you not find the grace of Jesus right there in that place to hold you close? Until he was ready for you to walk on and move into healing and hope, even on the other side of that thing that scared you to death. Why not worry? Because most of our worries never happen. What a waste. But if they do happen, his grace will be there for us on that day. I spent the entire month of February worrying myself sick about this baby. The fear was that he might not be able to walk. And I was picturing this little boy in this wheelchair his whole life long and what that was going to mean for us. And I tell you, I had this month of losing sleep and of tears and of imagining worst case scenarios. And I wore myself out with worry. Then we go to the doctor into February. They're like, we don't see a sign of that. Really? What about my last 4 weeks of my life? Can I get those back somehow? Can I get those back? And I've been tracking since that blood test my friends who did have babies, who did have this diagnosis, and I found in their lives they see the grace of Jesus all over their babies too. All over their babies too. Don't worry. Odds are your worries won't come to be, and if they do come to be, you will know the grace of Jesus like you have never known it before, and it will be sufficient to carry you through. Don't worry. Why else is Jesus free from worry? Why can we be free from worry too? Jesus knows his Father, and he knows the character of our God. And he knows that his Father is powerful over all of our fears. And he knows that his Father is loving in all of our days. And he knows that the Father moves with compassion in all of our circumstances. There is no need to worry when you know that the one who holds the world holds you. And he is totally for you. He is the one who doesn't just call Jesus his beloved, but who calls you his beloved. And it is his delight to take care of you and to hold you close. The more we know the heart of our Father, the less we have reason to worry. Don't worry. Why not, Jesus? Why not? Because our Father's got us. And he delights in caring for us. And he is a good God. He is a good God. So many reasons why not to worry. But the next question has to be, but how? How? We know why. But how do we stop that worry brain that just goes on and on and on in our heads? And thankfully, Jesus knows that on this very issue, we're going to need some pointers. He knows that just saying, stop it, stop worrying, stop it. He knows that that's not going to help us much. He knows that we need something practical to hold on to. And so this is what he tells us. Here's how you turn the worry off. Jesus says, look around you. See the flowers. See the birds. He says, look around you at all the ways God is actively caring for his creation. Look at the ways that your God is paying attention to the tiniest details of the things that we walk right by without even a second thought. Not your God. He sees those flowers. He sees those birds, and he makes them beautiful, and he gives them their next meal. Look at that. He says, don't go out your door looking for what's wrong. We're looking for what could go wrong. Go out your front door looking for what is beautiful and what is good. And you will see what is being held in God's good, faithful hands. You will see what you're looking for, right? And if you are looking for a reason to believe that our God has still got us, you will find that reason with every blooming flower and with every single bird that sings. See how they're clothed, Jesus says. Look how they find their food. Look how they soar with no fear. Look how your God's got them. And how much more does this God love to care for you? How do we not worry? Go outside. Turn off the TV. That will help. Go outside and look for God's care. You will see it in every flower. You will see it in every bird. You will see it in every new child that is born. You will see it in every hug that is given. You will see it in every penny that is spent to help someone else. You will see it in every smile that is shared with a stranger. You will see God's care everywhere if you're looking for it. Go outside and look for the God who is caring for us. You will find him everywhere. And that worry brain will forget what its script is. In light of such beauty. And in light of such grace. How do we not worry, Jesus? How? He says, all right, after you look at some birds and after you look at some flowers, try this. Get busy. Get busy doing something else, he says, besides worrying. Have you ever noticed how you worry the very most when you're at home doing nothing? You worry the most when you lay in bed at night and there's nothing else to do besides lay there and think about all the things that could go bad. Jesus knows us. But when we're busy working, when we're busy serving, when we're busy playing, isn't it crazy how for those moments we forget that we're supposed to be worrying about something? We forget. Jesus tells us, get busy. He says, don't just distract yourselves with meaningless busy work, but get busy seeking God's kingdom. That'll keep you busy. That'll keep you busy. Don't worry about your life. He says, instead, fill that head and that heart space with seeking first the kingdom of God, and everything you're worried about will fall into place from there. What's Jesus saying? Saying, rather than focus so much on all the bad things that might happen, focus right now on all the good kingdom things that are happening. And be awake Be awake right now to the ways that God is actively asking us to join him. Get busy, Jesus says. Your worry warped brains, get busy. Get busy noticing your God. Get busy listening to your God. Get busy hanging out with your God. Get busy bringing heaven to earth alongside your God. It is hard to worry about tomorrow when you are busy today feeding the hungry and mentoring the teenagers and teaching a child about Jesus' love for her and helping a neighbor in need and listening to a grieving heart and sharing coffee with the widow and planting a garden. It is hard to worry. There's just no time for it. For folks whose hands are dirty, doing the beautiful work of bringing God's kingdom to earth right here and right now. Don't worry, Jesus says. How do we not worry? Look for your God. Participate with your God. That's how you stop the worry brain, Jesus says. That's how you don't lose this one precious gift of a life that he has given us to live. That's how we live it to the full today. How not to worry? How? Get close to Jesus in those anxious times and listen to his voice and his voice alone. I remember in college, I was preparing for a summer in the Middle East, and I was excited to go during the daytime. And then I would go to bed at night, and before I could fall asleep, I would have all these images of horrible things happening to me in the Middle East. I had these pictures of terrorists coming in and kidnapping me, and just fear. And I got up one morning and I said, Jesus, I don't know about this. I'm scared. I'm worried. And he said, Jamie, he said, in that anxious place, that is not me that is speaking to you. He said, that is the enemy trying to keep you from joining me. He said, don't allow him to be the only one who speaks to you in those moments. He said, if it happens tonight, you just say, Satan, I will not have this conversation right now. I'm tired. I'm weak. But in the morning, I will talk to Jesus about it. And I tell you, that very night, the images came back and I said that. And that was it. Never again was there an image of fear. Was there an image of violence? I heard the voice of my Jesus saying, we will walk in this together. You need not be afraid. Those voices of fear are not for me. Call them out and say, I will not entertain you. How do we not worry? Get close to our Jesus in those anxious times and let his voice speak above all the voices in our lives. Back in February again, I had just kind of found this place of peace with just waiting for God and trusting this baby in his hands. And then I got a phone call from the doctor, finally. And she said she had read the test results and proceeded, I was hoping, to tell me, but it's fine. We see it all the time. It's fine. She didn't say that. She, for the next 20 minutes, she told me every possible thing this could mean. And it was all the things that I feared the most. And so I hung up the phone and I just began to weep and to sob and to shake. And I was so overcome with worry, with fear for this child. And Guy had gone downstairs, and so it was just me sitting in the living room at this point. And I said, Jesus, I only need to hear your voice right now. Her voice is scary. The voices in my head are scary. I need to hear your voice right now. My heart is just in this fragile place. Would you just be tender and speak to me? And I tell you, I haven't done this since probably college, because I've been to seminary and I've gotten my doctorate and I've grown beyond this kind of spiritual practice in my mind. Turns out when you are helpless, you go back to the things that worked way back then. And I had nothing that would come to my heart or mind. So I said, Jesus, I'm just going to hold my Bible and I'm going to close my eyes and I'm just going to trust that you're going to give me a word. And I sat in that place and I had my eyes closed and opened the Bible that was by my table side. And I felt this tug of Jesus saying, just put your hand on the page. I put my hand on the page, still my eyes were closed. And there was this indention in the page where you could just feel that this spot, it wasn't flat, it was a bump. And it says, stop right here. My finger was pointing to this spot on a page. I opened my eyes, and of the entire Bible, my finger was pointing to Luke 12:32. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good will to give you his kingdom. Do not be afraid, little flock. I tell you, that was the voice of my Jesus. And in that instant, every fear about this child was lifted from my heart. I knew he had this baby, and he had me. He saw me. He heard my cries. He knew this mama's heart's desire, and he gave a care. He gave a care. Do not be afraid, little flock. Our Jesus is tender. Our God is mighty. And he absolutely delights in taking good care of us, his children. Don't worry. Instead of worrying, just try getting close to him. Just listen to his voice and his voice alone. Jesus will be there in that place to speak peace to you. I promise you, my friends, he will be there. He will be there to hold you. So let's take him up on it. What do you say? Let's just name our worries in his presence this morning. If you haven't already, write them down. Please write them down. This is where we participate in worship. You didn't come just to stare at me for 30 minutes. Please, way better people to stare at. You came to participate in worship. Write down your worries. And let's proclaim once again that we see these things are real. And we trust in the good heart of our Jesus for us. We know that he has gone before us. And we have faith in the victorious one who can actually say every little thing is going to be all right. He's been there. He knows. And so we turn our attention to looking for the ways that God is actively showing his care. You'll continue to write your worries down throughout this time and our offering time. And then when it's time for the invitation here in several minutes, I'm going to invite you to exchange your worries for a feather and a flower, or a feather or a flower. If you're like Lucas and afraid the feathers are gross, take a flower. Whichever one you don't think is gross, take them both. But we're going to exchange our worries for a feather and a flower. We're going to lay down our focus on what might be bad. And instead, in the presence of our Jesus, we're going to choose to focus on what already is beautiful and good. We're going to look at the birds and the flowers. And we're going to see how good, how beautiful. And tell our hearts, and how much more. How much more does my God delight in bringing goodness and beauty to me? In a minute, we will bring our worries to the altar. We will lay them down. We will take in our hands instead a gift of God's grace, a reminder of God who sees us and loves us and promises that he will care for all of our tomorrows. Would you prepare your heart to lay these worries down? Would you prepare your heart to pick these promises up? And would you prepare your heart, at least for today, to walk a little bit lighter on our feet? Not worried about a thing. Because Jesus himself has said every little thing is going to be all right. And if Jesus has said it, then it is for real. Then it is for real. Would you pray with me? And so, Lord Jesus, we hold in our hands our list of worries. Even more, we hold them in our hearts and our heads. You know the way that they weigh us down. You know the way these worries blind us from seeing your beauty and goodness right in front of us. You know the way these worries stifle us from participating in the good kingdom work you've put right in front of us. And so this morning we take you up on your word. You say, don't worry, because you care for us more than we even know. And you've been ahead of us and you know what's up. And you can say, I've got you. We trust that, Jesus. And so in these sacred moments, would you prepare our hearts to lay these worries down and pick your promises up as we walk with you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.